I know that many of you have asked us to show more programs from Israel. I'm going to go back into our archives and I'm going to give you four programs for the next 4 weeks that I consider to be one of the best locations and some of the best teaching that we ever did. So watch this today on the Manifest Telecast from Israel. There is a passage in the book of Revelation that I'm going to cover that I've never taught on in the history of Manifest. Neither have I taught on this in the 42 years of my ministry. And it's a verse that deals with four angels that are bound underneath the Euphrates River. And we're going to explore that part of the world, which is the territory between Iran and Iraq. We're going to explore the Euphrates River. And we're going to talk about these four angels and what their assignment is and why are they now bound in that part of the world. To begin with, there are three major prophetic things which we know from Scripture that's going to happen in the very near future. Number one, there will be the revealing in his time of a man that Paul calls the man of sin, that the Apostle John identified as Ho Antichristos, or the Antichrist. And he will come at the time of the end. He is the last world dictator. Number two, there will be a coalition of nations and men who rule over these nations who will associate themselves with him and align themselves with him. And they're simply called 10 kings. They're identified as 10 horns in the book of Daniel. And they are the 10 heads of the beast, for example, in some prophetic scriptures. Then we have the third part of this, which is a kingdom that forms when this coalition joins with the Antichrist. Now, this kingdom is numbered in the book of Revelation as the eighth and final kingdom on the earth. Now, that eighth kingdom will rule for 42 months, while the contract or the covenant, that's the word used in the book of Daniel 9:27, is for a period of 7 years. Now, these three things are going to happen in the very, very, very near distant future. The rise of the Antichrist is very interesting because there's two important verses that I want to give you. One is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says that this man is to be revealed in his time when the thing that is restraining him on earth is removed or lifted. Now, without going into a huge discourse, it would take me 1 hour to break down the word studies and the verses of 2 Thessalonians 2 to prove this. But the restrainer on earth is the church that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's restraining the man of sin. That's what's restraining evil in the earth. Even in America, the extreme, radical, anti-Christian, anti-God left, and they are everywhere, their biggest hindrance are people who believe in God and believe in the Bible that are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I got news for you. We're not going anywhere. Just so you'll know that. We're still here. And as long as we're on the planet, we will be a thorn in the flesh to those of you who are anti-God, anti-Christian, and anti-Bible, because our nation, believe this or not, was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And that's history. You can't deny that. Now, having said that, the man of sin will be revealed in his time when the restrainer is removed. And I believe the restrainer being removed is the Lord coming for the church, those overcomers, and taking them to heaven. And we don't have time to get into all the dividing of that verse and dissecting that verse and the hermeneutics of the words and all that. Now, second verse I want to give you is in the book of Daniel. Here it is. It reads this way. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now, in the context of that verse, some say that was Antiochus Epiphanes who invaded Jerusalem and defiled the temple. He was a picture of the Antichrist, no doubt. He wasn't the Antichrist, not the one mentioned in the New Testament, because that one's coming in the future. But he is a picture of what's coming. So when the transgressors come to full, and that word transgressors there in that passage means to revolt, to rebel, to break away from authority. And when they're come to full, that phrase come to full in the New Testament is a Greek word that's translated in English as fullness. You have the fullness of Israel, the fullness of the Gentiles, the fullness of time. And the particular Greek word used in the New Testament for fullness can mean when a cup is full, when something has been completed, when a list of things has been completely done. There's different meanings to the word fullness. But if we go to Genesis, where God spoke to Abraham and he said, your seed shall be in captivity in a land that is not theirs, and I'll bring them out because the fullness of the Amorites has not yet come. God was going to bring the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and bring them into the promised land to judge the Amorites that had controlled Canaan land. They were offering their children to idol gods called Molech. They were very involved with incest and a lot of other sexual immorality. So God was going to judge the Amorites and move them out of the land when their sins became full. Another example of this is in the book of Revelation when it talks about the woman, the city ruling over the kings of the earth that's identified in the symbolism of Mystery Babylon. This woman has a gold cup in her hand that is full of the wine of her fornication, meaning her iniquity. And when that cup becomes full, that is when God judges this city called Mystery Babylon. So there's this theme in both the Old and the New Testament that when iniquity becomes full, when it's not repented of and it becomes full, and the cup becomes full to the point of running over, this is when God throughout history would allow a judgment to come on a people or nation. So the Antichrist will come when the transgressors are come to full, or the fullness of iniquity comes throughout the entire earth. So we got two things going on here. The fullness of iniquity happening in the entire earth, which is called by Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2, the mystery of iniquity. And when it all comes together and all becomes full, this is when the Antichrist will be revealed on the earth and the great damage that he does will be accomplished. Now, the verse I want to key up on, and this is a verse that deals with the tribulation period, and it deals with right about the middle of the tribulation period when there will be numerous battles and wars, some very major wars that are going to take place. Let me read this verse to you because I want you to key in on this verse. Now, before I read the Revelation verse, I'm going to read to you a verse in Jeremiah 46 and 10 that very few people, even men that teach the prophetic word, have ever heard taught. I mean, they don't get into this verse and tie it in to the Revelation verse I'm going to give, but it should be tied together. Now, here's what it says. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. So this is a mentioning of a judgment which would come to Babylon, but it mentions the river Euphrates. Now, pay attention to the book of Revelation, which is a very bizarre verse. I mean, there are some verses. How many know there's some strange verses in the Bible? You have to admit it, right? So this is one of those strange verses. Look what it says. So the Lord says to the sixth angel that had the trumpet, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which prepared for 1 hour, a day, a month, and a year to slay the third part of men. Then it goes on to say this, and this is where the story gets intriguing. And when the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the waters thereof were dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, there's so much going on in these two verses, and hopefully I can kind of explain this to you. The first thing we have to do is identify what is the Euphrates River. Most of you know, but if you don't, between the borders of the modern-day countries of Iran and Iraq are two rivers. The old name of one from Genesis 2 is called the Hiddekel, and the other is called the Euphrates. The Euphrates has basically maintained the same name through history. The Hiddekel River is later called the Tigris River. The name was changed, but it's the same river. Now, these two rivers, one starts up toward Armenia, one starts in Turkey, and then they join together at a place called Bozra. And then when they come together, they empty out into the Persian Gulf. Now, the Euphrates River and the Hiddekel River, if you'll read Genesis chapter 2, were two rivers that were the border of the Garden of Eden. You have the Pishon, the Gihon, the Hiddekel, and the Euphrates. The two of those rivers were the rivers in Egypt. The Gihon, or the Gihon, is, according to Josephus, the Nile River. The Egyptians called it one name. The Greeks called it another name. That's why it has two different names. But everybody knows where the Euphrates River is. It is still maintaining that name today. Now, the Euphrates River starts in Turkey, as I said, goes for about 1,800 miles and empties out into the Persian Gulf. Now, somewhere along the Euphrates River was a Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, because they would build their cities near rivers because of irrigation and water. Of course, that was later destroyed by the Lord in the 11th chapter of Genesis. And later, a man named Nebuchadnezzar came and built a massive major city called Babylon along the banks or near the Euphrates River, between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. And it was a great thoroughfare and waterway. So the Euphrates has been the boundary of the Garden of Eden in the beginning of time. The Euphrates River has been a river which all of the ancient empires, whether it's the Ur of Chaldea, where Abraham is from, Babylon, Babel, all these cities that were built along that waterway. It's a very famous river. Now, at some point, and this is where the story gets intriguing, at some point, there were four angelic beings that were bound in the Euphrates River. But the question comes up, who were the angels? And when were they bound, and why were they bound? The only explanation I can give you in comparing scripture with scripture is what I'm about to tell you right now. If you go into Daniel chapter 10, Daniel was in Babylon and lived there for 70 years. When the Medes and Persians overthrew the Babylonians, then the Bible says that the prince of the kingdom of Persia came to Babylon and withstood Daniel's prayer for 3 weeks. That prince of Persia was not a man. The prince of Persia was what Paul would have called in Ephesians chapter 6 and 12, a principality spirit, which is the highest ranking demonic angel that can rule over a nation. Now, here's the point. When the demon angel over Babylon, because there was a wicked angel over the atmosphere, when it was overpowered, it had to be bound somewhere. Then the Medo-Persian spirit came for 200 years, but it was overthrown by the Grecian Empire. So when Alexander the Great from Greece came, the Medo-Persian spirit, the one Daniel battled, had to be bound somewhere. Y'all tracking with me? When Alexander the Great's empire fell, now remember, the Babylonians, the Medes and Persians, and Alexander the Great all ruled from Babylon off the Euphrates River. Then when the Grecian spirit was overthrown by the Romans, that angel had to be bound somewhere. Then when the Roman Empire collapsed, or the Western Empire collapsed, and you come into the Byzantine Empire in the East that ruled for 1,000 years, and of course the Roman Church became a powerful force from like the 7th, 8th century onward, actually the time of Charlemagne forward, in the year 800, we have the spirit of Babylon, the spirit of Medo-Persia, the spirit of Greece, and the spirit of Rome. Now, these are single, individual, angelic beings that ruled that part of the world that had to be bound. Somewhere, God, and it may have been through Michael the archangel, we don't know, I'm only speculating that part, took those spirits, those high-ranking principalities, and bound them in the Euphrates. Now, watch what I'm about to show you. In the book of Daniel, you have empires, these very empires I'm naming, that are alluded to in the form of animal symbolism. You have the lion, which is Babylon. You have the bear, which is Medo-Persia, right? You have the leopard, which is Greece. Then you have a nondescriptive beast with 7 heads and 10 horns that we know is Rome. Now watch what happens in the tribulation when the Antichrist comes to power in Revelation 13. John says, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, and the beast was like a leopard, like a lion, like a bear. There's three of those empires. And the Antichrist reforms the entire area of ancient Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and brings all of that under his subjection. And that's all the Middle East, guys. That's all the Middle East, all the way from Egypt, all the way over to Afghanistan and Pakistan. It's the Middle East. So when, everybody still tracking with me? So when the Antichrist forms that kingdom, the spirits of those previous empires are unleashed from underneath the Euphrates River, where they were bound in the days of ancient Babylon and the history of the previous empire. Isn't that amazing? Now, this helps explain something to you, because anytime that we talk about, or let's say I come on television, because let me just tell you this. I fell in love with prophetic preaching when I first came to the Holy Land in 1985, and I found out all these prophecies that were actually being fulfilled or mentioned in the Bible, and nobody in the United States was reporting this. There was no minister. You know, back in that day, the only, I guess, main prophetic teacher was Hal Lindsey. A lot of you remember Late Great Planet Earth that was written in the 70s. And you had Southwest Radio Church of the Air. And you had a few other men that came along about that time. Jack Van Impe, of course, in the Southern Baptist Church, was very strong preaching prophecy. But there weren't that many men teaching it back in that day. All right, now, I fell in love with it because I came here to find and discovered prophecies that were being fulfilled. But when I begin to talk about an antichrist or a tribulation, you would be shocked how many people view it as some really negative message, and they don't even want to hear about it. And I get all kinds of criticism. As a matter of fact, I told my wife a while back, I am so thankful for the partners of our ministry, the new people that are coming in through the teaching, because sometimes, I'll be honest, you feel like a dinosaur out there, because all the young guys, a lot of them, not all, but a lot of the young guys taking over their mom and dad's churches and the mega churches, they just want to do what's happening now and make everybody happy and just preach a pretty message in 20 minutes and go home. And their people know nothing about prophecy. I have a friend of mine, he called me one day. He came up under, and he didn't really come up under my ministry, but he sat under my ministry when he was a student at LSU. I used to go there every year to church, and we'd have a 2-3 week revival. And he's just a brilliant guy, has probably about a 15,000 member church. But he said to me, he says, I am so concerned that my generation of guys that are 20, 30, and 40 are so into technology and so into this that they're going to take a chip in their hand. They're going to take the mark thinking it's the coolest thing in the world. And he told me, he said, I'm concerned about this generation coming up. They love their technology, that they're not going to see anything wrong if we ever step into something leading into that. Does that make sense? Because, and it's really true. All right, let me go back and stay on the subject here, because I can tell you this. But one of the things when you look at the tribulation that angers some people is they see the vile judgments, the trumpet judgments, and they say, well, why is God trying to kill everybody? Listen to me very carefully. This is the part nobody gets. This is the part that's not being preached. Revelation 12, and Satan comes down to earth with great wrath with his angels, knowing that he hath but a short time. And the four angels go forth to destroy a third of mankind for a year, a month, a day, etc. Some of this destruction which is happening is the, now pay attention, is the lifting of God's hedge on the earth and the removing of God's restraining power on the earth and the permitting of the powers of darkness to be unleashed on the earth. Now, you know that when the powers of darkness are unleashed, the Bible says the thief cometh not but for to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. The thief comes not before to kill, steal, and destroy. So when we look at the tribulation, we have to understand that in 2 Thessalonians 2, God is lifting his hand off the earth. As long as God's hand is on something, read the Bible, it's blessed. And the hand of the Lord came upon me, and he led me, and the Spirit of God came upon me. So when God's hand is on, it's blessed. But when God lifts his hand or removes it, read Job 1 and 2, the hedge can be removed, and then Satan can come in. So a lot of the destruction happening in the earth, while we know in the Bible that angels are allowing the judgment to happen, it is the powers of the enemy in some instances, not all, that these angels are going forth. I mean, Revelation 9, look, that's the oddest chapter in the Bible. You got these beings coming out of the abyss. And by the way, the entrance to the abyss is probably, see, this is in the message and I don't even have time to preach it. The entrance to the abyss, which is the bottomless pit In the book of Revelation, it will say in the book of Revelation, the bottomless pit, and you have these creatures coming up, and they have a king demon over them, a king spirit called Abaddon or Apollyon. One is a Hebrew word, one is a Greek word. Both of those words mean destroyer or destruction. And when those spirits, whatever this is released, they go out to torment men. So look at this. You got four spirits released from the Euphrates. You have Revelation 9, a whole horde of spirits that produce a 200 million man army and inspire them to march across the Euphrates River, which dries up. And then you have Satan coming down with his angels. They're not here yet. They're in the atmosphere, Ephesians 2 and 2, Ephesians 6 and 12. They come down with great wrath, knowing they have but a short time. And that is why Daniel said, it will be a time such as was not, there was not a nation nor ever shall be, a time of trouble, Daniel chapter 12. And this is also why Jesus made the statement in Matthew, except the days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. So see, a lot of people, the way this has been taught for years, see this as God trying to kill everybody. No, when the hand of God is lifted and you have these demonic powers, these demonic spirits, these demonic armies being released, that's why you see certain levels, not all, now don't get me wrong, this is God's judgment, yes, but God's judgment comes by his hand being lifted. Because when the hand of God comes off, the enemy just has free reign. So I want to tell you that I'm standing here on the tail of Megiddo, and right behind me is this beautiful valley where in Revelation 16:16, the nations of the world will come together for the final battle. But here's, every time I come here, look, I've been coming here for years, and I look up in this beautiful sky, and I can imagine the fake news of America that will come here in the millennium, come here at the end of the tribulation, because I can tell you some of that bunch definitely ain't going to the rapture because they don't believe. And they're going to have their cameras pointed in the sky, and they're going to see all these objects coming out of the sky. And there's going to be this bright one just shooting light all over the place. And when they zoom those cameras in, whatever they use when that happens, we may have new technology by then, they're going to see, and it's going to go around the world. How do I know that? Because it says every eye will see him. It's going to go around King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see all these people? They're going to be riding white horses. Giddy up. That's right. And Jesus is going to be coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. So this is how it's going to end, but the end is only going to be the beginning. So this is a great teaching. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. And as always, we have an offer to present to you. This helps keep Manifest on the air. I'll be right back. Excuse me while I practice riding my horse. Yeehaw! Ladies and gentlemen, give me your attention for a moment. Did you know the day is coming when we're going to have a cashless system of buying and selling? What has to happen before that takes place? Did you know this? There are 5 things that must happen first before this can be totally implemented, not only in the United States, but on a global level. I compiled some information. I talked to some multimillionaires. I talked to some bank people. And I want to present to you a 2-hour audio CD called The Doom of Cash and the Future Beast Monetary System. I'm going to show you how this cashless form of buying and selling is going to tie into the book of Revelation in Revelation chapter 13. This is very detailed. It's updated. I know there's a lot of this you've not heard. And along with this 2-hour audio CD album, I have another 2-hour audio CD album called Angelic Warfare and Satanic Assignments During Prophetic Seasons. Now, here's the fact. Angels are released to minister to the church, to individuals, and rule over nations. Like Michael the Archangel is the guardian angel of the nation of Israel. What you may not be aware of is more angels will be released during prophetic seasons, and more revelation from God is released during prophetic seasons. And that's where the demonic prince spirits, Ephesians 6 and 12, and also in Daniel 10, step in to interfere with the prophetic revelation and to interfere with the process of a prophecy from coming to pass. I was actually going to write a book on this subject, but it was going to be so long, it would have probably been a 500-page book, that I wanted to get it in a 2-hour teaching. And I'm telling you, if there's ever been a teaching absolutely power-packed and loaded, a lot of Hebraic studies, a lot of study about angels. But let me ask you something. What can we do in prophetic seasons when there is this such heavy demonic battle between angels and demons? This is the reason why the nation nations are shaking. This is the reason why there's mob rioting in the cities. All of this is connected to prophetic seasons that we're in. So I want to teach you about angelic warfare and satanic assignments. Now, you can get both of these for your donation of $30 or more, and you request offer FED-144. That's FED-144. And again, $30 or more. But if you order now, I'm going to include a bonus audio CD, End Time Secrets Hidden in the Parables of Jesus. You will love this. So that's 5 hours of total teaching that we want to present to you as the manifest offer. Help us keep manifest on the air. Order by calling 1-888-21-BREAD, the toll-free number. Or order online at perrystone.org. That's a very fast way of ordering. Or if you want to write a check, make it out to Perry Stone Ministries and send it to P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Now, once again, it's $30 for the entire set, and this is a limited time offer, so order today. Greetings, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the program. As we said earlier, we're going to do some programs from Israel that are some of my favorite because you've been asking to see Israel. And we're going to help you with that with some great teaching. And I don't want you to miss a program. Now, below on the screen, you're going to see places that I will be coming to. And we try to share with you where we're coming to a couple weeks in advance, sometimes a month to a month and a half, so that you will have time to make your plans to join us if at all possible. We know that as we come into next year, we're getting many invitations to many new places. And we do hope that many of you will take the time to join us at those places that we're coming to that you see at the bottom of the screen. We're in an outdoor scene right here. We have done some special taping. And for those of you that were on our treasure hunt, the key was found, but we did a little documentary where we're going to take the treasure book and we're going to show people the clues that are in it. So if you didn't get your book, it's available at a very special rate right now and you can get it and read it. So you will be one of those that will be able to see the documentary. Stay in touch with us with perrystone.org. Stay in touch with us with Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page. Also our YouTube channel. So God bless you and keep you, and thank you for your help and prayers.
The beautiful fall months are coming to Tennessee, and that means the 37th annual main event camp meeting at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Beginning Tuesday night, October 3rd through Saturday morning, October 7th, join Perry Stone, Jensen Franklin, Ron Carpenter, and John Kilpatrick, along with Lendell Cooley and his team, who'll be leading us in worship. Also joining as featured guests will be the Crab Family. A nursery is provided nightly for ages 1 through 4, and a Kids Fest Church during the evening and morning services. Pam Stone's Fall Festival is planned for Saturday afternoon, with great food, special booths, kids' playground, and music by Southbound, and Perry will be having a book signing. There is no fee to register to attend, but you must register at perrystone.org. Make unforgettable memories at what is called the greatest camp meeting all year long.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.